Good morning, Symphony Church. We are continuing in the book of Mark, and today we'll be reading through Mark chapter 9, verses 30 through 37, and I'll read that for us. They went on from there and passed through Galilee, and he did not want anyone to know, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand the saying, and were afraid to ask him. And they came to Capernaum. And when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you discussing on the way?" But they kept silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all." And he took a child and put him in the midst of them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." In today's passage, we see Jesus redefine what it means to be the greatest to his disciples. He called them out for their antics during their travels, and from what we can infer from the text, it seems like the disciples' definition of being the greatest is a lot like the world's definition of being the greatest. And it's especially silly because on the way, we see that Jesus was describing his death at the hands of man once they get to Jerusalem. And this is the opposite of this greatness that the disciples are pursuing. You know, Jesus is describing the humility and the lowering that he will have to take on soon. But this flies directly over the disciples' heads, and they're so caught up in deciding who amongst them is the greatest. What Jesus wanted them to understand, and what Jesus wants us to understand today, is that in the kingdom of heaven, the definition of the greatest is completely different from what the disciples know. We're still called to pursue greatness, but it's a completely different greatness from what we're tempted to believe. Something not everyone knows about me is that I'm actually a bit of a boxing fan. I like to watch the big names of today go at it, and I really like to watch the classic fights of the last century or so. I even put on the gloves a few times back in my day. And perhaps it's because of this that when I hear the greatest, I naturally think of the one and only Muhammad Ali. I think that for those of us who are a little bit younger like me, the gravity behind the name of Muhammad Ali is sort of beginning to become lost in time. But back in the 60s and the 70s, he was a larger-than-life figure. You know, for some perspective, one of his most famous fights, coined the Thriller in Manila, had a global audience of 1 billion people. That means that at the time, in the 60s and 70s, 1 in 5 people on Earth tuned in to see this man fight. Ali was this flashy, mouthy, charismatic personality that reigned supreme in boxing and almost immediately transcended being just a mere contender in the sport alone. He was a celebrity, an actor, a poet, and actually became one of the leading voices for racial and religious freedom. And although the disciples predated Ali by a couple thousand years, they were probably picturing something pretty similar when they thought of their future with Jesus. You know, at this point, they still just saw Jesus as this warrior king that would storm the Roman Empire and bring victory and fame and fortune and power. And in their arguing over who was the greatest, they were fighting for that position of being Jesus's right-hand man and getting some of that victory and fame and fortune and power for themselves. You know, they wanted people to know who they were and to know that they were capable and excellent. You know, we might not readily admit that we long to be the greatest or that we value the prestige and authority that the disciples did, but we do often long for something similar. You know, we want recognition or success or wealth or acknowledgement. The exact measurements might differ from person to person, but through one way or another, we often find ourselves doing whatever we can to prove to ourselves and the people around us that we are valuable. Is it being the best student in your class? Is it being the funniest person at work? Is it being further ahead on your weekly tasks than the others in your team? Sometimes we're so caught up with being the greatest that it doesn't even really make sense. I remember back in my high school days, there was this girl that a lot of the guys in my friend group had a bit of a crush on. And because there was this one time where she mentioned that she liked boys that were fun to be around, we would all make absolute fools out of ourselves and try to outdo one another in being wild and boisterous around her, all so that she could see one of us as better than all the rest. There's something about being the greatest, being the best, and the first, that gets our hearts going. And Jesus recognizes that there is value in this pursuit of greatness. Notice he doesn't tell the disciples, don't try to be great. There's a lot of dedication and hard work and sacrifice that goes into pursuing the things that make one great. And these are qualities that Jesus actually wanted his disciples to exhibit. So it isn't the path to greatness that Jesus corrects, it's the definition of greatness. Jesus tells his disciples, if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. And this must have been such a counterintuitive statement to the disciples, and it's one that shows the difference between the way they saw their lives and how Jesus saw their lives. The disciples thought that to be the greatest meant to be the one that the world was most pleased with. But Jesus knew that to be the greatest meant to be the one that God was most pleased with. The more you work to follow after God and to live for his kingdom and be in his plan, the greater you were in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus knew that God was most pleased by a life lived for the sake of others. In today's society, we tend to see the position of serving as being inferior, the opposite of great. The greater you are, the less you should have to serve. That's what we see in our world. But Jesus says the opposite. He says, the greater you are, the more you should be able to serve, to pour out to others. For us, whether we know it or not, we wake up every day with this tug of war happening in our hearts. To pursue greatness in the world's eyes, to pursue success and acclaim and to puff ourselves up, or to pursue greatness in God's eyes, to pursue sacrificial love and service and to pour ourselves out. It's a battle that you and I will face as soon as we close out this devotional and go about our day today. In the end, it comes down to which perspective we value more, either being great in the world's eyes or being great in God's eyes. I remember a conversation I had with a pastor who I really looked up to during my first years as a Christian. He had committed to leaving his life in America behind, and he was being sent out by our church as a long-term missionary across the globe. And during our last conversation together, he looked at me and said, Dan, if I ever get a chance to come back here to this church, maybe 10, 20 years from now, I hope that no one remembers me. I hope that I can take a bulletin, find my seat in the back, and no one would give me a pat on the back or thank me for the sacrifices that I made. And I hope that when that happens, that my heart is filled with joy. Because then I know for sure that this was all for Jesus. It was all for the people that I'm going to. And none of it was for me. I hope that you and I can value the approval of God so much that we're willing to lay down our own glory. I hope that we can love others so much that we're willing to abandon our own entitlement. Now let's go to God and let's just ask Him for this heart. Let's ask Him to help us as we seek to be great in His eyes rather than the world's. Let's go to Him in prayer. Lord, we confess all the desires of our hearts that want to build ourselves up. Lord, we confess that we want to be great in whatever ways that looks like in our lives. But Lord, I pray that you just help us. Help us to instead seek to be great in your eyes, to be great in the kingdom of heaven, to be great by serving, to be great by being the last of all, to be great by pouring pouring out to those who may not be able to give us anything, like the children in our passage that Jesus points to. Lord, would you help us? Would you show us what your desire and what your will for us is, and may we obey. Lord, help us to just see the ways that you are putting the path out for us, and I pray that we can follow. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.